Oh, hey, didn't see you there. It's Isaac, your host and GM. I'm kind of talking to you guys from the future, so bear with me. So we started this podcast as a bit of just like kind of a fun time for us all to reconnect and hopefully make an engaging and fun show that other people would enjoy. Sci-fi is kind of an unexplored realm in the D&D universe, and we wanted to make this kind of highly edited with great music, great sound effects, and it's a pretty tall order coming from people who know nothing, well, absolutely knew nothing about the process in which this was done. So needless to say, we had a pretty steep learning curve, literally from our pilot episode up into the first few episodes of season one. Now, I know that some of you are probably audio snobs, and as you well should be, you know, people are asking for your time, and yeah, we're no different. So we wanted to let you know that you're not missing much, and you can go ahead, if you don't want to listen and see where we came from to where we are now, skip ahead, you won't miss much, and head to episode 7, Trouble in Nanoi. We'll find that the three spacers, Atlas, McKenna, and Clive, all still relatively don't know each other too well. They are new to this adventure, and they are working together for the first time due to unforeseen circumstances to find a mysterious cultist named the Sunmaker, which is the whole premise and arc to season one. I think you're gonna like what you hear. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you later, spacers. Welcome to our table and home. Pull up a seat and join as we play Dungeons and Dragons in space. You see, we've noticed that there's a lot of like the fantasy setting type Dungeons and Dragons, but there's not very much in the sci-fi universe. And that is something that we wanted to explore and invite everyone who wants to be a part of that adventure to come and join us in our home, at our table, and see what adventures and hijinks that we get up to. But before we start, I would like to kind of like introduce everyone. So I'm Isaac, I'll be your DM, and we're gonna go kind of sideways.
I'm Sam, I'm gonna be playing Clive Jensen.
Perfect. I'm Nathan, I'm gonna be playing Atlas.
I'm Courtney, and I'm gonna be playing McKenna Ali.
Awesome. Now, before we start, we have a few awesome announcements. I know we're not super big or anything like that at the moment, but there are really cool things happening in each of our lives that we wanted to share with you. One of the biggest being that there is a nonprofit that Courtney, my wife, has helped kind of bring from the ground up and start. That nonprofit is called Ring of Hope. Can you please tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, a Ring of Hope is a nonprofit that our first project based in Kenya. And if you want to kind of follow our journey there, it's just getting started, kind of like this podcast. We officially have a social media page where people can kind of get connected. And you just look it up on our Ring of Hope. And I think we're on Facebook and Instagram. And we'll tell you more along the way.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's move into our campaign, Starlight. It is standard date, 10760 FS. Peace has been held with the Federation's Iron Fist and Sovereign Cycle. Rebellions have been quashed, and absolute power allocated and dispersed throughout the various planetary systems in the Antimonis galaxy. But at long last, the time for a new cycle and elation has come, and with it, the uncertainty of such things. Throughout the galaxy, everyone who is a part of the interstellar community that now holds their breath, waiting, watching, to see what will happen next in the Celestial Federation, as the upcoming elations are just around the corner. We begin our story with a average-aged man finding himself in a place where the air is clean. Too clean. In fact, ever since you've arrived at this damn place,
You haven't been able to get your nose not to feel dry from the recycled air. They really should add some humidity. Either way, it doesn't matter. What matters is why you got yourself in this mess, arrested and put into the confinement of the high detention facility. The reason you put up with the mush for food, the grueling work in the asteroid's core, and all the humiliation that comes from both fellow inmates and guards is all for the moment that lies ahead of you. Ahead of you is your quarry. It's taken a lot of maneuvering. It's taken many months, but it's finally time. Thanks to a friend of yours, a prison guard by the name of Horace, the elusive gray, Ofax, is now alone, cut off from the rest of the inmates. All of the security cameras have been completely disabled. Horace waits outside of this interrogation room, guarding it, waiting to let you, an old friend of his, know if trouble comes or how much time you have left to talk with Ofax. Ofax holds some particular interest to you. It's been a while ever since you woke up that one day, just kind of wondering what it is that was going on around you, what it is that was happening as your eyes blinked open. You're certain that he's somehow related to the group of scientists who helped create you, the group of scientists that you are seeking answers to, know more about your past, know more about what it is even to be human. The gray stands before you, his back turned to you, almost as if he's looking around confused. He's maybe 3 feet tall. The skin is, well, just like the name, it's dark gray, heavily wrinkled, folds, almost like extra folds of skin that shouldn't be there, hang just one on top of the other, as if his body's skin just keeps growing, but it's still like doesn't match up with the frame. There's not a single hair on the body. Like most grays, he wears no clothes. There's a small little birthmark on the back of the neck, a little odd splotch that's almost in the shape of, kind of reminds you of a cookie with the bite taken out of it. At your approach, the one scientist turns. Bleak black eyes, without irises, swivel in your direction. As he looks at you, the hiss of the Durastil doors closing behind you, leaving you alone to talk with him. When Ofax looks at you, what does he see?
I've got on tattered clothing. And what looks to be a cowboy hat pulled out of the depths of a war-torn battlefield. Holes all over my clothing. You can see the machinery that allows my body to function. I look like I almost shouldn't even be standing. Yet, here I am, and I'm looking for answers.
Ofax turns, looks at you. One of the most peculiar things that always kind of like catches you off about the grays is that there is not a single mouth, no lips. How they eat is still an enigma that they keep very hidden to themselves. His hands kind of like start to move, just three spindly fingers with knobs at each joint, and they just twitch as he starts to speak to you in the language of the grays. Somatic language, just filled with twitches, eye swivels, little tints of body movements to communicate, a completely silent language. And in that language, Ofax says, "Who are you? What do you want? Why am I here?"
"My name is Clive Jensen, and you're here because I need to talk to you, sir. I woke up one day on a battlefield, and I had no idea why. As I understand, I was built for war, and when my time had come, I was supposed to be gone. Yet here I am, And I know you. I remember you. I have images of you in the back of my head. You have something to do with where I came from. And I need to know. I need answers. I'm not supposed to be here, yet I am, and it feels like torture.
Go ahead and make a charisma roll for me.
14.
The head kind of twitches. Shock. Surprise. Then you see a little movement of the knee. Hiding it, keeping it to himself. Don't let him see. It's a subtle motion. Something that you would only see if you knew how to speak Gracilian. But you catch it. And with that, you're able to kind of push, pulling, trying to get some more information out of him. And at last, there's like a small bead of sweat that comes down. And he flashes some more fingers. And the fingers say, "What number are you?"
Well, you see, that's a problem. Because I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't feel like the rest of my kin. I feel I have this new feeling inside me, and I do not understand it.
New feeling.
That's why I came to you.
New feeling. I do not understand this. You weren't made for feeling. Explain.
I have no explanation. I woke up one day, like I said, I was supposed to be done, and all of a sudden I woke up. I looked around at the battlefield. I looked around at the bodies torn apart, and I just started shaking. I started getting anxious, and I didn't even know. It's a new feeling. I've never felt this before. I felt scared.
As you've read?
Yes. Oh. As I've read, as I've heard from that fear when I was gunning down other humans, that look in their eyes, I...
Other humans?
I feel that.
Other humans? There's a small shift. Surprise. Awe. How is this possible? Other humans. Repeat that sentence.
Other humans.
You felt for other humans.
Yes, and that is why I'm here. I need to know why, because I hate this feeling. I was ready to be done. I was ready to give it all to the battlefield and just be done and over. And then here I am. No explanation. Don't have any why I feel this way. I didn't feel any of this before.
There's a pause. And then he steps forward. Each step, he has little suction pads on the bottom of his feet. And he comes up to you. There's a little bit of slime left behind, almost like a slug with each step. As he
Now, hold on. What are you doing here?
He comes up to about a little bit of like about your navel and looks straight up at you. The eyes kind of swivel, almost like a chameleon, just kind of looking you over. Other humans, he flashes the sign language of the Gracilians and says, "It is interesting that you identify yourself the same as other humans. You and them. Empathy. Fear. Anger. Curiosity. I wonder." And then he motions for you to turn around and kneel. A question. A request.
Alrighty. I'll obliged, but I need to know what's going on.
I will see if I can answer. And then as you kind of kneel down, he kind of gets up, the little fingers tracing over your skin. They're cold, never warm to the touch, as he comes up to the back of your neck, where you have a neural link. And he kind of traces his hands over there, gets close. Then he taps you on the shoulder for you to stand, and he goes, "You are part of one of the projects. Fascinating that you weren't destroyed." And then he backs up, and he And he goes, "We have no need to talk further. I am done with you. Please leave me in peace to live out my life, paying for what I've gone through and what I've created."
"You're done with me? I came here to speak with you. What are these projects? What do you mean?"
Turns around. I need you to make another charisma roll for me, please.
8.
8. He just shakes his head, and he just flashes regret. Not sure telling you exactly what the regret is. He just flashes an emotion of the fingers as they move. And it's regret at every day of his life. And you're not quite sure what comes then. There's almost like a human quality that he picks up, where you kind of the shoulders slump, but there's no breath that comes out. And he just says, on his right hand, the feeling of muted, and the other hand says, "I must serve out the rest of my days here, the rest of my penance for what I've done. Go live your life. But leave me be."
Well, it seems like you're not going to help me anymore. So, fine. I'll leave you. I'll leave you to your hole where you can rot.
And what do you do after that? He just stands there, just unmoving. His back turned towards you. Almost as if he's mulling over everything that you have brought to his attention, all the things that you have said. What do you do?
Well,
outside the door, Horus is waiting for you.
In a fit of rage, because he did not get what he was looking for, he's actually going to pull out one of his butterfly blades and slit the dude's throat.
Okay. As you pull it out, I need you to please go ahead and make a sleight of hand check. You can do it with advantage.
15.
All right. Go ahead and make an attack roll.
19 for hit.
All right. Pulling it out. It comes out first. It's like almost like small pocket blades in size as the handle. You press a small button, and then the blade swivels out first one length of it, and then it swivels out again, creating almost a hand and a half blade that folds up. And you walk over, and just as you're about to go ahead and slit his throat, the eyes kind of swivel at you in this last moment of terror as you go and you slit the throat. And just... there is no noise, just fingers that just kind of like convulse for a second. There's surprise. There's still awe. And there's almost like an acceptance as well that you're getting from the way his posture is, that this is what he deserves. Can you please make a perception roll for me?
17.
As he's resting into your arms, you don't know why, but there's like a moment where you like you kind of slit him, but you catch him and almost allow him to fall. Like there's this part of humanity that's within him as well. You can see the fear in his eyes. And he sees you. For the first time, you actually almost get the moment of that there's an acceptance. And his fingers splay out. And all he says is, once again, number 3-4. Making you was a mistake. And everyone else that I ever cared for is dead because of you and because of our projects. And every day I regret being a part of the Shrine Cross. And every day I regret my dealings with Aycrux. And with that, the fingers kind of tremble and fall lifeless in your arms.
I'm going to lay him on the ground, close his eyes and knock on the door.
As you knock on the door, there's a small moment, and then there you hear the small hiss of a as the doors open. On the outside, you see Horace Churchbill, a friend of yours from the past. Although Horace has no idea about your true nature, Horace is like kind of taking to you as a best friend, someone that he feels like he can trust like really closely, even though you may not have had the rapport always that you, from what you've read, humans would have the best friend, but you don't also quite understand. You see Horace. Horace has like greasy hair that's been kind of combed back, starting to kind of ball in the back of it. He wears the gray slacks of the prison guard detail, and he's a little bit overweight, just kind of the stomach kind of pooching out. And he turns and he goes, "Oh, you're done." And he kind of peers past you and he goes, What the hell, Jensen? Oh, God, you understand what kind of paperwork this is going to be? You're supposed to talk to him.
Well, I did talk to him, and he didn't give me what I wanted. And it was about time for his time to come anyway. He's caused too much harm to too many people.
Reveries, Jensen. This is the last favor like this that I am pulling for you. And he goes,
"Hey, I mean, it's one less prisoner for you guys to worry about, right?"
"Yeah, that's a whole stack more of paperwork for me. You don't understand."
"Well, I hate to break it to you, Horace, but it really doesn't look like you're doing much moving around anyway."
"Clive, I've disabled most of the cameras. I have my other buddies on it. You should be able to take the central route to the Duracell lift, take it down, and you can get to the prison, to the prison transport area. It should be Bay 2. The rest of your stuff," and he kind of points at your inmate outfit that you've grown accustomed to, and he goes, "It's been arranged. It's in a crate with a few other various things that are being shipped in and shipped out. It should be one of the food crates. Your stuff is in there under a lot of other things. There's a few things, few cargo lifts coming in. You can sneak out on one of those. But there's only two of us." So, and he points it back at the gray and he goes, "I need you to be a little more subtle than that, please."
"Well, maybe next time then. But I do appreciate your help. If you ever need anything in return."
"I'm off my rotation in a month. Cards then?"
"That sounds good."
"All right, get the hell out of here." And you kind of start to take off in that direction. You're pretty familiar with the layout of everything. But, you know, even though Horace has kind of made sure to get the optimal guards that are like his best buddies, and that you kind of know a little bit more from your interactions, and they're cool with you because Horace is cool with you, you still have to be careful. So I need you to go ahead and make a stealth check for me.
Eight.
Okay. So you make it, you wind down a few of the areas. You pass a few different like cells with like plasma instead of like bars, kind of like guarding the inmates that are in there. Most of them kind of look at you curiously. One of them kind of comes up to the side and he goes, "Oh, are you leaving? How did you get out of here?" And this one, old B, is a little bit off his rocker. He's been here for about 20 years, but he knows a lot. He survived mining the asteroid core for a long time, and probably at some of his insanity. And he goes, Debbie, come on, man. You gotta help me get out of here, man. I've been here for a while. Just go to the tower and unlock these doors. Come on, man. I know we've shared spoons and we've shared desserts. And you have no memory of this. He's just known for spouting out some of the most random stuff.
I'm just going to ignore him and keep going my way.
As you start to get away, he goes, "All right, Debbie. All right, Debbie. Don't say I didn't warn you, Debbie." And as you start to yell, he goes, "Guards! Guards!
Oh, no.
De- Jabby's getting out of here, guards! And he starts yelling that out. Can you make one more stealth check for me, please?
17.
Okay, that's 17. Better.
There's a few, like, you can hear some commotion as people start to kind of head that to go talk to him, but it's not anyone coming down the current hallway towards you, but you kind of start to pick up the pace a little bit. You get to the lift. It's already been, you see the key card left in there so that you can push it in the rest of the way and get down to the level where all of the landing pad, the bays are, and you go ahead without running into anyone else. Just as Horace said, you are able to sneak the rest of the way there, but you're not quite sure what's going to happen in terms of what old B was doing or yelling out about. But you do find your way to the bay, and I need you to make one last stealth check as you go ahead and kind of start to like find a place to hide and make your way over to your things.
Oh no!
I got a 5.
Good to know. Meanwhile, we're gonna cut over elsewhere. Floating in space, you find yourself with the raucous music of the Dragon Bar that fills your great large ears. It's pretty crowded for an Airbus, I'll give you that. Although the people here that you're finding in the Airbus's bar, they aren't the normal type that a bar would probably have to fill. Most of the folk in here seem kind of like hard working folks, mostly humans, with some of the odds and ends mixed in. The more you look at them, you realize that they are the terraforming type, settlers on their way to a new life, hopefully a better life. They're going to colonize the wilds of Thala Colony, a small kind of like outer planet, a place that you need to get to, a place that you need to get to find an old friend, one that you've heard lives out there. Now, what's interesting is a lot of these people kind of draw your attention because you've been to many bars, you've seen the kind of people in bars, but it's actually the opposite, where normally you would be able to kind of fit in and be able to blend in with the crowd. It's everyone's looking at you. You're the oddity here. You're the one drawing the attention and the unease of those around you. As you kind of push your way through the crowd, people kind of move, giving you a wide berth. The folks out in this area of the galaxy are not used to seeing loxodons of all kinds of things. But there is a brave little halfling who's maybe no older than 10 or 50. Ah, halflings are so small and cute, so it's really hard for you to tell, especially in comparison to your great size. She's cute, though. And you realize that she must be a child after a few more minutes of scrutiny. She approaches holding a small stuffed toy elephant. And curiously, she cocks her head and she says, "Are you really real?"
"Oh dear, I'm as real as they come."
"You look just like Miss Poppy." And she kind of pushes this stuffed elephant with a pink dress on up to, for you to see.
I'm going to take the elephant and say, "Well, it looks real, except most loxodons do not wear pink dresses. So try again next time, dear." And I give her the elephant back.
And as she's like getting ready to say something, can you please make a charisma roll?
Five.
And she goes over. So
That's. And her papa kind of comes up beside her, picks her up, and just. Now, Sarai, what did I tell you about talking to strangers?
But she's just like Miss Poppy.
Can I try to fashion some makeshift new outfit for her elephant?
There's plenty of places for you to sit down and maybe find some like bar, like broken bottles or some random bits of cloth, napkins. Sure.
Dears, what was her name? Sarai?
She did say Sarai, or her father did say Sarai, but they've already kind of started moving back to their family.
Dear, please come find me in 20 or 30 moments. I will be making your doll, Poppy, you say, a new dress, a new outfit.
And so the girl, as you say that pretty loudly for her to hear above everyone else, she looks up at her dad, and her dad goes, strangers, can you make a persuasion check?
This is 17.
Looks back at you and sees this well-meaning Loxodon. And when he looks at you, what does he see?
Oh boy, an elephant on two legs. Large ears, as you say. Very, very well-dressed, put together. A bit of a marking on her neck. He probably wouldn't see it a whole lot, though, because it's actively trying for that not to be seen. Big eyes, but very friendly looking. Yeah.
He looks at you, his eyes kind of soften. There's a little, you notice now that he has, like, very big bags under his eyes, as if he hasn't slept in many days. But we are going to meet a lot of different people. So maybe it is good if you go talk to her. But, and he says this part loud enough for you to hear, stay where I can see you. And the girl goes, oh, thank you, Daddy. I really wanted, like, her to meet Miss Poppy more. And they kind of disappear into the crowd, kind of talking, but he gives you a curt nod.
Perfect. And I'm going to go work on the dress.
All right. So as you're working on fashioning that, please tell me how you're going to make this dress.
Well, I'd like to see if there's any tablecloths. I'm assuming there's tablecloths in an establishment.
Yeah, there's a few, but yeah. Most are being used.
Well, I'll just try to cut off a little bit here or there. and which should be no biggie. I'll just do it. And then just kind of, I feel like I got probably a pretty good look at the size of the elephant. And knowing elephant proportions quite well, having designed my own clothes, I just kind of sew it together, use the fabric mostly, but maybe a little bit of whatever else is laying around as well.
Okay, so can you please go ahead and make, let's say, a dexterity check in terms of like fashioning this and making it nice and beautiful?
18.
18. It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. At least as beautiful as it can be when made from random stuff from around the Airbus bar. Mm-hmm. At one point, though, you see that there is like a walking on a tripod, this canister. It's a droid. It has many lights and it kind of like beeps. And behind it, there is a human male, probably in his 30s. He also looks tired, but he has these like spectacles on that almost kind of like catch the light, so you never actually see his eyes. And you're about 12 minutes into making this, and he goes, ma'am, thank you. Look, you're gonna have to pay for that. And he holds up the part of the tablecloth that you ripped off to make the dress.
I'd like to do a minor illusion to make it seem as though it was repaired. Like, all right. Oh, it just magically fixed itself.
All right.
It's a cantrip.
As you go ahead and do that, and you go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And you point at it, and he's like, ma'am, I have it right.
So are you feeling okay?
I don't know. And he just goes, never mind. And he goes to walk away, very confused, scratching his head. The droid just kind of left between, its head swiveling back and forth between you. And just, meh, 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 meh. And then it starts to kind of off away. Now, just as that's starting to leave, there is a sudden just like, and the PA system kind of comes on over the top of the everything else. And it says,
Attention, riders. We are experiencing some issues with our networks. It would seem the last solar flare has disrupted some connectivity from our pilot and the dragon. We will be making a pit stop. You will be welcome to stretch your legs for a jaunt in the terminal of the facility. And thank you for your patience. We hope you enjoy your time with Airbus services. And as it kind of like goes off, there is a just like immediate grumble from everyone. Just like, oh, you hear someone go, I knew we weren't moving. I knew there were some issues. And someone, another person goes, great, right in pirate territory. Pirates? What are you talking about? Haven't you been watching the news? And all of that kind of starts to kind of build up. But there's this moment of clarity as that little halfling girl kind of pushes through and comes up to you holding Miss Poppy. And she comes up, her hair pulled back in a single bun, bright yellow hair. And she goes, hi.
Hello, sweet Sarai. And I pull out this outfit. It's more of a functional jumpsuit that Poppy can wear. And I put it on Poppy. And then I tell her, this is much more appropriate for what Poppy may be doing in her life. And I take the pink dress and fashion that into a jumpsuit as well. Assuming she's okay with it.
Go ahead and make a perception check.
Perception. That would be a 10.
10. Okay. You notice, as you're saying all of this, the girl's kind of nodding her head like, Like she's really taking notes from this elephant woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that there is like an increasing dissatisfaction. Someone goes over this part of the dragon, the starship, as they call them, has no windows, but it does have a few viewing portals. There's just like, for the first time, the viewing portals have been opened, and you can see off where in the distance, where from the pilot's point of view, where the ship is going, and you see a rather large asteroid just kind of slowly listing through space. I want you to please go and make a history check, as this is the direction you are heading.
A 4.
You're not quite sure what it is, but you can make out some structures on it. And you kind of shrug your shoulders and you're like, It's going to kind of put a little bit of a delay in your trip, mm-hmm. but you know they'll repair it and eventually you'll be off of whatever facility is down there. Now, she takes it. You guys gonna share a few words, and she's like, "Oh wow, this is pretty cool." But I think the dress looks better. And then she kind of walks off. Is there anything you want to do?
I'm a little upset. I think I'd like to. Go stand out on one of those standing pads, assuming there are people are out there, and just kind of take a moment to myself. Also, yeah, I think there's not really a whole lot to do right now on here. Okay. So just maybe keep an eye out for what's happening and a good eyes, great ears.
All right. Then as you do that and you head out there, there have now been a few other dragons that you can see from the viewing port that have come out from the asteroid, are approaching, and they are there to help tow it in. You notice that these dragons look like something more like military vessels or potentially prison vessels that are helping to tow the Airbus in for repairs. Make one more perception check as you are kind of keeping your big Loxodon ears open.
Is there a way, if I have mending, to mend the ship?
You're going to have to try and go to the engine room and check.
Let me do a perception first.
That area has generally been
guarded. 20.
Natural 20. One of the things that you hear is there's a sweaty man. He's kind of built in a way that suggests hard labor. Bald hair. bright cheeks. Looks like he's probably had one too many, and he just kind of wipes his brow. And you just hear him talk. You overhear him talking to someone halfway through what he's saying. And he's talking to someone who's not really that interested, but he says,
well, that's why I'm going out there. She's got herself mixed in with like a cult or something. I can't remember what she... Something about makers. Anyways, it goes against every precept of the Reverie. And I'm going out there to make sure my little sister gets her damn head on straight.
He kind of wipes it. And then that's when you see him pull out like a small silver flask and just...
Anyways, God, I hate flying. I can't wait to touch down.
I'd like to use message. It's a cantrip. And just put in his head. Maybe she really does need to get her life figured out, but you should go after her and make a very aggressive move to ensure that her life is straight. And really kind of embolden him to move quicker and be bolder.
Can you please make a persuasion check?
But I'm not talking to him. I'm using...
Yep.
That would be a 10.
There's this moment where he's like, pauses, stops talking to whoever he's talking to. And then the person looks at him and goes, Flynn? You okay, buddy? And he goes, yeah,
No, never mind. I think I gotta go to the bathroom. And he kind of like pushes away. And
I'm gonna look at him and just wink and walk away.
He does not notice.
Great.
He just pushes. You're like quite a bit taller than him. Uh-huh. And he pushes away, heading down the hallway of the dragon to go find the bathroom. And now you can hear the hiss as the other dragons kind of attach themselves to the hull of the Erebus and start pulling and towing them in the direction down to the asteroid and one of the facilities down there. Atlas, you find yourself, you have just touched down. You're riding in a small dragon provided by, let's say, your associates.
Yeah.
Now, Ebb is the one who's been piloting this ship for you. She's kind of a skinny, scrawny computer type, really great at interfacing with dragons and being able to control them. And she's been sent by your associates to kind of like shuttle you around in the loaner vehicle that you have checked out under your name by gotcha. Them. And she's just touched down into the facility of the Hive Detention Center. Now, the bay doors of Bay 2 kind of come to like the laser field that is normally in front of it, hisses back to life. Can you make a perception check as you're looking out through the veering portal into Bay 2?
7.
All right. Everything seems as it is supposed to be. Although it is always still kind of strange to find yourself in these kind of facilities given your associates, for sure. The Ebb looks back at you. She's a tiefling, purple skinned, just a little hint, little horns coming out from her head. And she stretches as she kind of pulls herself back from the interface unit, unattaching the goggles, pulling her hands out of the flesh. Because even though the inside of the ship is built in that it's all metal, mm-hmm. the center console, which controls it, comes up. What starts off as like a metal pedestal, and then the top is all half flesh muscle and almost viscous jelly that you have to stick your hands into for the interfacing. And she pulls out, she kind of wipes it off, and she goes, all right, how long you gonna be, man? Do I have time for a cig?
And I'm walking inside the double doors right now.
Well, you're in the dragon. You're in the dragon, starship. Okay. You've just touched down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've just been welcomed. okay. into the detention facilities, and she's just kind of like almost, so to speak, turning off the keys. And she's
gotcha. Yeah. So yeah, Alice will look at her and be like, "Yeah, you have time."
She goes, "Good. Hey, don't mess this up, okay?"
Do I ever mess anything up?
She goes, "Well, you got a good point there." And then she goes, "But seriously, like, you're probably the only person that I've piloted around on these loners the most. Like, everyone else makes it, like, I don't know, 4-5 times. What, this is like 6? You're pushing some sort of record, kid."
I was doing my job well.
She goes, "Amen to that." And she goes, "You got a lighter?"
Yeah, I'll just, so with Atlas, if I can speak, he'll basically, like, flick his thumb, and then it'll just be like a lighter, like a flame that kind of like pops out. Just a small one, nothing big.
She kind of walks over and she goes, "Much appreciated, brother." "All right, I'll be waiting." Right. And then she presses it, she goes back and puts a hand in the interface unit. And that's when you hear some of the lift door opens so that you can walk down into the detention center.
While he's walking in, he'll light actually a cigarette himself, and then just walk into the detention center.
Down at the bottom, you see a guard, hands kind of right behind his back. He's really not someone that's super memorable. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much dressed like every other guard, has the gray outfit. You can see that he has the light pulsating of a second skin armor underneath it, and he has a helmet on, kind of obscuring some of his eyes.
Okay.
And as you walk down, he greets you with an easy smile, and you notice that there is there's like a, he's kind of thinner in frame. If you had to guess, maybe half elf or something of that sort of nature. Mm-hmm. Either way, his hands behind his back, so he goes, "Good to have you. We've been waiting for your arrival. Just as a formality, sir, do you mind if I see your credentials?"
Do I know from like insight-wise if this person is affiliated with my connections, or
go ahead and make an insight check.
4.
Hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
Probably, if you're not sure, it's best probably to assume no.
Alice, being Alice, he's going to, because he's smoking a cigarette, he's gonna like pull it out and like lean real close to the like the guard, and then just basically say that he's just gonna say, "I don't need credentials."
Go ahead and make a persuasion check.
19.
There you go.
Kind of sighs and he goes, "You forgot them, didn't you?"
"I don't forget anything."
"What journal outlet you work for again?"
"An important one."
He goes, "That would make sense. Yeah. You should do me a favor."
I was just going to start walking.
Get a new job.
Yeah.
Well, hold up.
No, yeah, he'll start just walking in.
You have no idea what... And he starts walking up to you. And at this point, go ahead and make an insight check.
Insight?
Okay. Yep.
14.
You now notice that he's getting way too flustered too easily. And as you're looking around, you can see that there are other like guards walking around, but most of them are kind of holding themselves casually, not wearing the helmet. And you get the sense that this is a new hire and he's doing his very hardest to appear professional. But based on how flustered he's getting by the way you're acting, he he doesn't know how to handle this situation. He's like, "Just hold on 1 minute." And he gets in front of you and he goes, "You understand, right? You can't just walk through that door without my security clearance." And then he kind of holds up a badge as he kind of points at the door.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Can you just give me 1 second? Give me your name, and I'm sure I can look this up." And then he pulls out a little notebook.
So Alice is going to put his hand on his shoulder and say, "I'm assuming you're new here, but I know your bosses. I'm going to go in and do my job. And you're going to get back to your post." How big is this guy? Because I want to, like, my hand might just cover his whole, like...
You tower life. Over him.
Okay. Yeah.
Make an intimidation roll. Okay.
Natural 20 plus
Ooh.
2. 22. Man.
There's a moment where he kind of, like, looks at you, and there's, like, he's not sure how to take this, and he goes, there are protocols, sir, but, you know, I can just run the thing on your ship. I'm sure that's attached to your outlet. And he goes, just 1 second. And he walks over to the ship and goes and finds and it starts to interface one of the outside, basically almost like QR codes.
Mm.
And then he goes, oh, that would make sense. You didn't tell me you were one of those hotshot journalists. And he comes back and he goes, I am really sorry. I am really sorry. So, if you will please follow me this way, we have been waiting quite a while for this. I know that it's been months of getting this story ready, and may I just say, I am a huge fan of your guys' streaming services, and I cannot wait to see this documentary on him.
Perfect. Alice is gonna, like, clap him on the shoulder and be like, all right, kid, let's go. But he's going to, like, put his arm around his shoulder and just walk with it.
Make a charisma roll.
Okay. 7.
You get the sense that your overbearing nature, when you're trying to be friendly, is still intimidating. Because even though your motion's friendly, you can see him getting kind of crushed by the weight of your arm. But he goes, yeah. And he goes and unlocks the security door. And he leads you through it. There's a hissing of the portals that open and close behind you. You walk past cells. You can hear some sort of a disturbance mm-hmm. off in the distance. You can't quite make it out, but something about someone giving food, something about spooning. You're not quite sure. It's very hysterical.
Okay.
And
the guard's walking with me right now?
Yeah, the guard's leading you. And he's kind of like giving you the tour of the different things. He's leading you to the different floors. And you go past cells with the thin sheen of the humming laser door. And you pass prisoners who are relatively amiable that are dressed in like their gray slacks as they're mopping the floors on maintenance duty. Yeah. And you finally come to the end of a short hallway. There is a set of doors, heavy, heavy doors. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dull, almost iron steel, the kind that is probably like 4 or 5 inches just thick. Now, the guard goes up and he opens it, and so this isn't from me. This is from the guildsmen who run this center. But you will understand. I'm sure you're well-versed at getting out the information you need in this time, but the kid is on a tight schedule. You're not the only one trying to get a story, so you have 20 minutes, and then he also has to be back in the yard by the evening. So, please, thank you, and I will be out here if you need anything, and he moves out of the way to let you in. And when you walk in, you find that where everything else was just metallic, cold, unfriendly, you find the exact opposite. Inside is a library. The interior is carpeted with velveteen floors. There are mahogany shelves and a beautiful window that overlooks Titan's rocky expanse, Titan being the asteroid on which all of this is built. Please go ahead and make a perception check.
Me?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Two.
Two.
Wait, sorry. Yeah, two.
There's just a moment when you kind of like look out and you can see two dragons.
Mm-hmm.
They, and as you're looking at the dragons from the outside, what it looks like is it's a starship that is they're almost oblong in nature. There's short, almost like wings that come out, but it's very short, and the outside of it is carpeted almost with like scales. There's no viewing ports, no nothing. There's no exhaust of flames for moving these starships, but you see two smaller ones with cable lines attached to the back behind it. They're towing a very long, no wings on this, but oblong version of a dragon. You notice that it's an Airbus of some sort. It looks like they're towing it into the asteroid. It's probably going to land in the next few minutes. Probably some sort of mechanical difficulty if they're helping out with it, but it's not really your business. Your eyes flick over as you hear someone go, before you, you see the kid. The kid is a drow, and you can see a faint tattoo that kind of runs on the side of his neck. It's purple and gold, and it's of a bull. But these kind of tattoos, these are special. These are the kind that only members of your association have. This tattoo is galloping. But it's not moving from place. It's just like the legs are moving, giving the appearance as if it's moving across a landscape. And with each step, it kind of moves from purple, scintillating to gold, moving back to red, and then back to purple. This drow is even shorter than the guard was. Hair white, eyes just very, almost same, similar like deep velveteen type of color, but purple as well. And he sits before you, dressed in his gray outfit, arms crossed. And he goes, can I help you? And as he looks at you, what does he see?
All right, so he sees a 6'4". So he's like, how do I explain it? So he's six. You see, it's like a 6'4", almost broad, like shouldered, like broad chested, very muscular individual. Not like just thick. Kind of like a Spartan. I think we spoke about. He kind of looks like, you know, like how Spartans are, like TV shows or movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Muscular. He looks around the age of 26 to almost 30 or so. He has like this gray silver hair that's that goes past the shoulders a little bit on his back. And it has like a little bit in the front, like kind of parted. He has ice blue eyes. And then from his eyes, like going downwards, like from his face, like down to his like neck, there's these kind of like blue, like neon bars almost that kind of go down. And they're like a cool blue color. He's also shirtless, but he has this, jacket like over it. Cause have you ever like, you know, like the pirate, not like pirates exactly, but kind of like the Navy admirals or pirate-ish kind of things. Or they have like these jackets, like the fur collar-ish kind of things. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm saying or not? Mm-hmm. So he's wearing one of those that's like this dark kind of black slash gray, like in color, maybe with like a white fur collar. But he's, and then also on next to his chest, there's blue bars kind of like on his face, kind of like go down and like spread it around the chest. It looks almost like a pattern almost going like on both sides of his chest down his stomach. And he's wearing just like normal like slacks, like tan slacks or something, boots.
All right. So he looks at you. He puts his hands out. Is there anything that I can help you with? You another journalist in to get my story, my take? Find out why someone like me would want to turn in the Acers?
Well, it looks like if we're just jumping to the main point, then I want to...
I have things to run, businesses to do. A prison doesn't run itself. So get to it.
Okay. So, with Alice's personality, Alice's gonna be like, alright, puny boy. And then he's gonna, like, while he's saying it, he's gonna, like, grab the drow by the neck and just, like, pick him up. Like, he's gonna be smoked and just, like, grab, like, as a reaction, just, like, grab him because he was insulted.
I'm scared.
So as you go and grab him, just
yeah, I'm just gonna grab him by the throat. Small voice comes out
as you kind of lift him up. Roll an athletics check for me, please.
Athletics.
Yep.
Real quick. Sorry. I know this is a DM question that I should have probably. With like the rolls, it's only you only get bonuses with the ones you have proficiency in, even if you have pluses from stats. Correct.
Yeah. So on your sheet,
it's only the proficiency stats that
you're just gonna add, but it's already factored in whatever you have chosen.
Well, yeah, chosen as your proficiency. Yeah. I just want to know, because like, obviously, because your stats, some have bonuses,
yep.
But you're not proficient. Okay, perfect. Oh, really? It was a natural.
So you lift him up. I need you to roll an intimidation check with that.
Intimidation? Okay. 9.
9. Your arm kind of shakes just from the quick moment of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You hold him up for a second, but you, rather than looking weak, you just set him back down, not quite getting the effect that you wanted, but leaving a little bit of a bruise on the man's, on the kid's neck as he goes, is that really necessary?
I don't really like to be insulted by weak individuals. And then
rubs his jaw and then spits to the side. Pooh! What do you want?
I'm looking for the Sun Eater. Sun's Taker.
Looks over at you. He just laughs. You're one of them, aren't you? They're still looking for him, aren't they? What makes you think I'm going to tell you about the Sunmaker, huh?
That if you don't tell me, I will kill you. I'm here to do a job for the Acers, and if you've known the Acers long enough, we always complete our jobs.
Oh, yeah. Just like the way they were supposed to free me from this stinking hole.
Well, actions do have consequences, and you didn't do what the Acers intentionally wanted. You're with your own desires and your own intentions.
Yeah, maybe I did, didn't I? But actions are in the past. I've built a new life. A new family. He kind of rubs a bruise and he goes, and things have consequences, don't they? What are you gonna give me if I tell you? It's just parlay for my life. Because I think it would look awfully odd if I was suddenly dead.
As you know, with the Acers, whatever you desire, we can get you.
Go ahead and make a persuasion check.
Oh, my. 2?
Everything except my freedom, huh? They were supposed to buy my bell out of this place. Now I've had to start over. One day I'm going to own this prison. I'm going to own the warden who walks around here. And every single one of them is going to be my bitch. So what more are you going to give me? How are you going to give me my freedom? Because that's about the only way I'm walking away from this.
Knowing from my the contract itself to get the Sun Taker, correct? Make sure I did. I messed it up.
It's the Sun Maker.
Sun Maker. Yeah. See, I actually named it a bunch of things.
You're good. You're good.
But basically, with the Sun Maker, how like knowing the from the contract, how high of like a priority is it to get this Sun Maker for the Acers?
Very high.
All right. All right. So Alice will look over to him and say, "I will get you out today. We'll walk out of the prison right now if you can tell me where the Sun Maker is."
Now, you have some proof of that. You have it written down. Mm-hmm. You have your boss signed off on it. Mm-hmm. And honor is a huge thing amongst the Acers. They almost operate in a similar fashion to the Yakuza. Now, when you say that, make a charisma roll for me, please. I know these aren't your best rolls.
Charisma?
Yes.
8.
Gonna show me the paperwork.
Has my guy like? Is my guy still smoking or no?
It's up to you. Is he still smoking?
They allowed it. The guards didn't care, right?
The guard was actually pretty enraptured with whatever.
Was it?
Whatever entity that your ship was associated with.
Okay. All right.
So he didn't really notice that much.
Yeah. Alice is going to start to like kind of wind down a little bit and just tell him that we need to know where the Sunmaker is. Like, I can't promise your family safety or your safety. I can't get the information.
You kind of like breathe that smoke into his face. It kind of curls around. He goes, you should really knock that off. It'll kill you early. And he goes, it's a library. You don't want that to get in here. There's not many places with this kind of carpet. And he kind of like shakes his head a little bit. He goes, excuse me if I don't trust you, but I've been here 7 standard years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. And no one's come through for me. So how about we set up a deal? A tradesy, so to speak.
What's the deal?
Nothing too hard. There's someone that I need to disappear. And he kind of looks you up and down and goes, you look pretty capable. In exchange for the information.
Who's the target?
Another prisoner.
Do you have any combat experience?
No. Not real experience. He's a lunatic. Murderer. Killed many people. The scum needs to be taken off this. Off the face of this galaxy.
Does he work for anyone? That we know of?
His own privations.
Alright, if you can give me the information first, then I will take out the target.
Goes. Make a charisma check. One more. Do a persuasion.
Persuasion?
Yes, sir. I don't know if you have a...
Nope, I have nothing. I have intimidate. I'm just an intimidating person.
You are just an intimidating person.
3.
He goes, how about this? I give you some of the information. You take him out. You set up another visit for me. I tell you the rest of it. Deal?
Fine, we have a deal.
Reaches his hand out, gives you a shake. He goes, all right. Well, if I want this done right, it's just saying, let me consult my notes here so I don't get the name wrong for you.
I'm really hoping that I start rolling higher today or tonight. To be honest, now while I was looking that up, if I don't roll higher, then my thing is saying that my boy's not going to do too well.
Have you heard of the painter?
The painter?
The painter.
No, I'm not really into arts.
Go ahead and make a history check on that.
History?
Yep. No idea.
2?
He goes, yeah, that's fine. He's a pug. Ugly little thing. He has a nasty habit of getting put in jail, released, put in, released. And every time he gets released, he goes on a little murder spree. I don't know who the hell's backing him getting in and out, or what sort of experiments they're allowed to be run with this thing, but he needs to be ended. He's called the Painter, because when he murders people, he likes to spread and draw a butterfly with their blood. It's his own personal signature. Anyways, he's getting transferred today. And he looks down at his watch and he goes, which is another odd thing, now that you notice. He has a few personal effects that people didn't have. He goes, about another 45 minutes or so. You should be able to follow him up there. And when their little prison ship's up far enough, assuming that you are with Acers, be able to remove that ship and that transfer, all the people that are with him, it doesn't matter. because that single pug will kill more people than you realize.
Alice is going to be saying that I accept the deal, and I'm not too worried about some pug or some random person when I am the strongest in the universe. It's cliche as it sounds.
He goes, "Deal. The information you need is this, that your Sunmaker is on the planet colony of Thala. Now,
can you write that, please?
It's been."
No.
I do not want you to remember that.
Wait, Thala?
Planet Thala. It is well established. There's quite a few little hidey holes. And I'll tell you.
I can write it down.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, it was a major. It was a pain to find him. Mm-hmm. So, as for the particulars, we can wait till you're done with your job, huh?
I'll handle the job.
Good. Well, then, if you don't mind, I have other meetings to attend to. And he just...
Wait, is he, like, knocking or snapping for me to leave?
He knocks on the side of the door, and there is a moment, and the door kind of hisses open. Mm. The same guard there before, and he's standing there, trying to hold his composure again, and he looks at both of you, and he goes, please, this way, sir.
It's time to go, kid.
And you kind of follow him out, and there's just, like, small talk. He's kind of like, well, how was the interview? As you kind of chat back and forth, and you start to make your way back to Bay 2. Clive, we move back to you. Please start off with a perception check.
All right, here we go.
Here comes the rolls.
Ooh, 7?
7? Okay. Now,
I don't like the label that sounds.
You, for the first time, get a good look around the bay room, and what you see all around you is you see, like, various crates, all sorts of, like, supplies, mechanical implements, things that you do recognize as your background with being, like, working as a pilot. But in the area where Horace told you your things would be, there's probably about 20 food, basically, crates. And in any one of them, the rest of your things could be.
God damn it, Horace.
How do you want to go about trying to find them?
Well, I'm going to take a nice scan of the room. Do I see anybody else? Is it just me?
There, you had to kind of, like, pop down and hide for a second, because the laser fields kind of opened and allowed a smaller, just sort of a smaller dragon to kind of fly and land. Can you make a perception check on that? Or an insight check, I should say.
17.
What's interesting about this is you recognize this class of dragon. Oh, it's made to look like a normal transport ship, but it is a smuggler ship. You watch as you're hiding from your spot, as you, like, kind of duck back down, as the bottom of it kind of opens up, and you watch this large man walk down, probably cyborg in some sort of nature, blue stripes kind of coming down the face, walks down, has some sort of interaction with the guard. The guard kind of looks flustered for a bit, and then suddenly he's in awe after checking the credentials on the ship, and you wait until they leave, giving you those few moments, because when you look around, you see a bunch of security cameras, and Lord Horace, you better be right about every single one of them being disabled for a short time.
Oh man, I don't know. I may just have to cut, thinking to himself, I may just have to cut my losses on my stuff and just get out of here. Horace was never quite that reliable back in the day, and it's gotten me into quite a few other issues. I think, are there any crates, like, pretty close to me, like, within...
Yeah, so you went and hid kind of, like, behind those 20 crates, but you're kind of like, fuck, I can't look through all of them.
All right, well, I think I'm just going to look through the few that are directly within reach, and then if nothing comes of it, then I think I just need to get myself out of here.
Make an investigation check with disadvantage.
8.
Man, it is blind luck at this point, and you have no idea where to start. You probably have time to look through 4 different crates. All of them are relatively the same looking. They don't look disturbed. You would have a short amount of time to probably open the latch and look in. Of those 4, 1, 2, 3, or 4, which one do you want to look into?
I'll look into number 2.
You pop the latch. Inside, you see a bunch of like flash frozen eggs.
I start digging down deep in there.
You start sifting through. Please, can you roll me a percentile die? That is a die 10 and a die 100.
Oop, this is a die 100 at least. Die 10? I think I have one of those too. Okay. Here, this is die 10 and this is die 10. The 0 on the die 10 is 10.
Six, seven.
You start looking through and you cannot find anything in there. You kind of close it. You can hear some voices, but nothing that necessarily that seems close at the moment. You probably have time to look through 1 or 2 more if you wish.
Now, Horace, when we were talking, did he say there was a specific ship that I was getting on as a getaway, or he just said there were ships?
He said there were ships.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Now, as you look back out and across the expanse of ships that you see, there are ships. There's 2 at the moment. It looks like it can probably hold maybe 5 ships, this docking bay. There is the ship that is completely open, the thing still down there, that large man walked out of, the smuggler ship, which usually is great for hiding things and getting things out. But there is also what looks to be a prisoner transport ship as well. That lift is also open, and it looks like maybe they're expecting to move people in sometime soon, but you don't see any guards approaching. And Horace would have told you if it was happening like right in this moment.
And I'm still wearing the inmate.
Oh, yes, you are.
Garb, right?
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to try to look through another one of these crates. I'll look through number 4.
Make a roll another percentile die.
Okay, you have the percentile. I'll just give you 10, though.
Yeah, because there's not a die 10 in the set that you gave me.
Oh, 29.
It is in this one. After searching through, you finally see. Thank goodness. It is your stuff. Your various things, your piloting equipment, and even... some of like your more favored, treasured stylistics of clothing from some of your favorite films.
Which is also strange just because he doesn't quite understand why he has a connection to these items, because he's feeling all of these new. All right, well, shoot, I finally found what I'm looking for. I need to get out of here. I need to, of those 2 ships.
And that's when you hear a hiss. And you hear the siren blaring.
And I drop back down.
And you, there's no one quite approaching. You get a sense that if you can either stay here or you could try and hurry, but you can just make out that means that another ship is getting ready to land. Do you want to stay where you are? Do you want to make a run for it? What do you want to do?
Well, another ship coming in. That could mean an easier escape route. I don't really want to deal with that big ass dude that came off. I'm just gonna wait here.
All right, make one more stealth check for me, please.
18.
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right.
So as I know what I'm doing, just a little bit.
You kind of drop down and you wait as this ship gets pulled in. You see first 2 smaller sentry-type dragons, ones that are used, classified for like short-range combat. you see that they are towing a large Airbus. And as it kind of gets pulled in and has to turn sideways to fit, you watch as multiple doors open and you see quite a few folks just like come bumbling out. A lot of them just like, ugh. A detention facility? This is where we're supposed to walk around? Oh, we'll get off of it. That's just going to be a short while they make real repairs. And you see usually just kind of like more common type folk, which is like kind of human in aspect. There's a few half elves, some halflings, no grays. But you do notice as one of the lift doors just kind of like creaks with the weight, as a Loxodon walks down the steps and just kind of looks around, the snout of her snout kind of looking both ways, like sniffing both ways. She then steps down, and you find yourself in Docking Bay 2.
This looks like a lovely place. Well, might as well explore a little. Have I been here? I would know that. Elephants have incredible memories.
You have never been here. Now, as you start to step down, you see a lot of people for the first time are like, oh man, different air. It's like you can taste the difference. So an old man kind of grumbles and he goes, yeah, but it's not the same as fresh air. And but they're all kind of corralled, including you, as various guards kind of come out of the ships that towed you, and they start to kind of gather the crowd, and they go, now you can all walk around the Bay Area. There are bathrooms over there. Just contact one of us. We will unlock it. We will escort you in. But there are dangerous people who are currently being recorrected on their thoughts and actions here. So please do not go about bothering them. We are going to have a few transfers coming through. When that happens, there will be an alert. And you're hearing all of this too as it's being said out loud.
So during this whole thing, since I'm hiding behind the crates, I'm working on getting out of my inmate clothes and back into my normal clothes that were in the crate so I could kind of phase into the crowd once I get an opportunity.
Okay, so you're kind of slowly just kind of like shifting and putting these things on as carefully as possible. The guards continue and they go, we are going to have the diagnostics officer come in and work with your pilot and engineering crew and see what the malfunction is with your interface unit. It should be momentary. So please, fountains for water over there. Make yourselves comfortable. But you get the sense that when he's saying that, it's like, don't make yourselves too comfortable type of situation.
I'm going to just start walking laps casually and see if I maybe notice anything a little bit odd.
Go ahead and make a perception check.
That would be a 5. Everything looks great.
Yeah, by this point, you have walked laps. The only thing that you notice is that the guards are really unfriendly. And for the most part, a lot of other people have been pretty unfriendly on the ship too, and you're a little over it.
Is there any guards that look particularly unfriendly?
Go ahead and make a perception check.
8.
Hard to tell just from like a quick look. If you maybe went and talked to them, maybe you could find out. But you know, as of right now, there's about 6 guards. At this point, Clive, you have maneuvered your way into the crowd and kind of kept your face low, just moving around, shifting in and out. And at that point, I need you to make a perception check now. You guys are having great rolls.
I know.
13.
Clive, you hear the same kind of grumblings that McKenna heard before. It's a lot of people who are just like, honestly, kind of just tired and done with things. There is someone who is you pass, who is just like talking to what looks like a few family members, and she is kind of graying in hair, but she's not old, just maybe graying a little early. And she goes, I really hope they hurry. There have been some pirate attacks recently, and they've been spotted out here, and I really don't like it. I don't. Hush now, darling. We are on a detention center. What better place to be from pirates than on a detention center? I know. We have to think of the kids. We'll be on our way soon. And that's when you kind of like start to pass away and hear that. And maybe you catch a little bit of the end of that.
I'm going to put a message in her head that says all pirate ships have disappeared for the past week. There's been no attacks.
Okay, go ahead and make a persuasion check.
That would be 24.
Do I happen to notice a giant Bloxodon concentrating to cast some sort of what?
Well, first, you make a perception check, and I'm going to get back to McKenna on this. McKenna, you, with that natural one, not only do you not notice, but your attention is so taken that you need to figure out what ship you're going to get into.
Do
but,
I notice him trying to do this?
Well, one second here.
Okay. I'd like to respond.
No. Now, first, do I notice her noticing me?
First, for your message, the woman goes, yeah, I don't know. It's just... And she goes, huh? I didn't say anything, darling. You just did. No. No, you just said something. Tim, darling, I think, why don't we go take a walk? I think that would be good for all of us. And she goes, all right. And they kind of just start walking the similar laps that you started before, kind of talking, but you can see that there's like a little bit of a moment where she's, more than a moment, where she kind of starts to relax a little bit more and just is enjoying the moment with her kids, kind of running back and forth between her. And now go ahead and make your insight check.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if I noticed him.
Yes, this is not an infinite loop. We're not going to do this.
That would be a 22.
Ooh. You just see for a moment that someone stares at you that you don't remember seeing him before. There's a lot of people on the Airbus, so you don't know. But it's the first person you notice that has stared at you with more than just like a little bit of xenophobia.
Are you okay? Do my ears look too big? I know they're kind of obtrusive.
Am I okay? I asked, are you okay? You're the strangest one of this whole bunch. I mean, look at you. What are you doing way out here? I know Loxodons. I've never seen them way out here. What are you doing?
That is so rude. How could you? Wow. I've got to go. And I'm going to walk away and start walking laps.
I'm going to start walking towards the ship that they got off of, but keeping my eye on her the whole time, just because she's the one that's the outlier of that entire group.
Okay. As you start to head up the steps back into the ship, there is one of the worker crews come out, and this one is actually a dwarf, short, clean-shaven, and dressed in an outfit that is honestly, the dwarf is about, it is a large man trying to fit into an outfit that's, he's probably 50 pounds, made for a 5 pound, wearing a 5 pound set. So he's just really kind of like bulging in his outfits. Polished bikini. Golden buttons.
Right?
Polished golden buttons. And he stops you and he goes, no, no, sir. We need everyone off the ship while we work on this interfacing unit. So please go mingle and enjoy yourself. Okay. This announcement's going to be made soon anyways. We're going to be here for a while. The entire interface unit's fried.
Well, who do you have piloting in that damn ship?
It's not their fault. It's just that the Airbus system is archaic. It's outdated. You know how it is, and we're working on a limited budget. things and things aren't getting allocated by the Federation for this sort of stuff. So, you know, it's about 10 years old.
Well, do you mind if I actually take a look at it? I used to fly around myself back in the day. I might be able to give you some insight.
Go ahead and make a persuasion roll.
Right, dice.
Well, nine feels.
Okay, well, 11. That's not too bad.
11. He goes, no, no, you really shouldn't. Yeah, you really shouldn't. You know how many people I've heard say that kind of thing? And then just, boom! And he's a little animated guy. And he goes, nope. Please, for the good of all, walk down those steps. Let us handle it. It should only be like, looks down his watch and he goes, like 7 hours or so.
7 hours? Do I look like I got time to wait that long? Do you guys have another ship coming?
Well, you bought a ticket, and another ship's gonna take at least 10 hours to get here, so this is your best choice.
Oh, God damn it. This shit technology, I'm tired of it. Alright, fine.
And that's when he says the dwarf says that rather loudly, and everyone kind of looks back and they go, 7 hours?! And you hear that it's going to take about that long as he kind of yells that out.
7 hours. To do what in this decrepit place? Well, might as well start getting to know some folks. And maybe picking up someone some information. So I'd like to just walk around eavesdropping on people.
Alright. I want you to just go ahead... and make another perception roll as you are specifically trying to pick out interesting topics.
That would be a 6.
6. You see an ornate dwarven woman dressed in scarves and has a lot of jingling, very just like archaic metal jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's like really outdated. Like, who wears gold around their neck anymore? And she is currently talking to one of the guards about toilets. And she goes, you should really look at my inventions, huh? I've been working really hard, and that's actually why I'm on my way out to the colony. Now, I was just in there, and I'm going to give you a wonderful pitch, okay?
And I'm going to keep walking. I'd like to go look at this other ship that's on the dock, the loading bay, and just kind of take a stroll around it.
All right.
I'm not trying to be stealthy or hide or anything. I'm just looking.
As you go and walk over, you notice that it is it's a nice ship. Small. It seems to be empty at the moment, but the lift is down.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much from a base idea of like kind of what you see.
Is there like a ramp that you would walk up? Like how?
Yes, the ramp is open.
I'd like to just sit crisscross applesauce right in the center. Not like, you know, like how a ramp does this kind of thing. I'm gonna sit at the bottom, crisscross applesauce.
So you just sit down, just
yeah. Yep, ears out.
And that's when you hear kind of the voices of people saying, "All right, folks, please move to the side. To the side. We got some people to bring through, nothing to worry about." And that's when you start to see a long, long line of probably 15 to 18 prisoners. Just, and they have like these shackles on that are attached by like little, the chains are replaced with like lasers, like keeping them attached. Just a very bright light, almost the light of like a welding light. It's hard to look at. They themselves can't look down, and they're just trudging one behind the other. With armed guards carrying like full-on assault weapons, their visors, helmets down. None of the inmates seem to really stand out, but they all just look hardened. Hardened men. Some of them you kind of recognize, but they're all being moved into the oblong prison transfer ship. It doesn't take long for them to get loaded up and get that thing closed, and very, very slowly you hear like the hum as the dragon's landing equipment starts to kind of like fold in itself. And the dragons are interesting because they actually warp gravity around them, and it just kind of hovers for a second. And there's a moment where like the laser gates to the bay area open with a and it just kind of slowly moves out. And as everyone's kind of watching this, and there's kind of like low mutters, like just like, wow, did you see the way that he looked at me? Good riddance to them. I wonder where they're going. And there is another hiss as a door opens. And you hear a loud guard just talking very excitedly. And he goes, yeah, and so that documentary, I want you to know that when they had, what were they called? They're extinct now. Dolphins. Yeah. Can you believe that that happened? And this guy is just talking to you, this prisoner guard, and he is talking very excitedly as you both kind of look and see who this person is.
Do I see the prison thing leaving?
Like yeah,
bus?
You do.
Do I know it's the prison bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Does the guard have any weapon?
The guard has like a minor like weapon on him. Like more like a stun.
Like an axe or nothing? Nothing?
This guard does not have like an axe or anything on him.
Okay. Can I do something?
Yep.
How far is it from me?
The ship?
Yeah.
Oh, the ship's like just leaving, and the laser gates are kind of starting to hiss.
But that's not closed yet?
No, no. Yeah. But there's no opening under the ship.
I don't know, but how far is the ship? Like, how far?
Oh, it's. Let me look at the map.
What are you thinking?
What?
Can I run to the bathroom really quick?
And then as it's kind of inching, there's the as the lasers field is starting to close slowly. What do you want to do?
I wanted to call to whatever the guard looks the most important, like the highest ranking.
Make an insight check.
18.
All right, you see one who seems to be the most high, like the highest ranked.
Okay, I'm going to call to him and say, your boss promised me an interview with one of the prisoners on that ship. And it comes from the highest order, so I need to talk to one of them.
He looks at you and he goes, did he now? And, can I see that order? With that writ, please?
Alice is getting a little frustrated today.
It's not Alice's day.
Because people just are not listening at this point. And he's very, like, prideful in some sense. So he's literally just going to... Does he know anything to... Like an intercom system, like for outside the base? Is there anything that he would recognize as like an intercom?
Go ahead and make... I want you to make a perception check. And I also want you to combine it with an intelligence roll. And give me the two totals added together.
Intelligence? Okay, I'll do one first, because if I roll two, I don't want to like choose. So which one first?
Perception.
Okay, perception is going to be 11.
And now roll an intelligence and add it together.
Intelligence.
It's my best roll.
Oh! Yeah, is that your best roll?
That is a nat one.
No, minus one.
Okay, you would know.
You have a zero?
You do see an intercom type system. Currently, there is a guard kind of leaning lazily against it. You also see that guard is talking to your pilot. And she's just smoking, and they're just kind of chatting away. But you don't recognize the system or the way to interface with it. And that's when the thing closes all the way. And the guard goes, all right. Journalists always thinking they can get what they want. And this guy's no pushover. He goes, go take your story and go write it up, huh? You don't kick us around. And he just walks off.
What is he? Like, how big is he? Like, is he like humanoid or?
He's humanoid. He's reasonably built. He's not as stacked as you in any sense, but he's built well enough.
How many guards are around?
Altogether, from what you can see, about 8. Most of them are... The majority of them are carrying stun weapons, but a few of them are carrying like full-on assault weapons.
Are you going to try to kill him?
No. Alice is going to walk up to him.
and gently,
you do what you gotta do.
Grab him by, like, you know, like the shoulder, but back of your neck kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, and lean over. Is he taller? He's not taller than me, right?
Nope.
Is he bigger? Okay. So he's gonna kind of like grab him by the neck and kind of like lean over, like to like talk to him a little bit.
Uh huh.
He's just gonna say, "How about you don't disrespect me one more time, or I'm gonna, like, or I'm gonna throw you off this ship."
Gonna make intimidation roll.
Against a guard.
13 plus.
This might just be 15. My chance.
He looks at you and he goes, "Ah, got some backbone, don't you?" He goes, "I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here. We put up with journalists coming in and reporting. It's not the other way around. All right? You're here because we allow it." And he goes, "I've dealt with more people giving negative press about us than you would care to know about." And he goes, "So don't get upset with me that I'm a little bit annoyed at your presence, all right? You make my life harder."
Can I? Do guards or like the galaxy? This is like a very good question. Acers, we're just businessmen. So, like, if I, like, by chance had a tattoo or symbol of the Acers, would he consider that, like, needing to arrest me because I'm just a very good businessman, or?
It depends.
Okay.
But, in general, mm-hmm. being directly related with the Acers is something worth going to jail over or being killed. But it is an open secret that the Acers all work for this corporation and the corporation fronts for them. But because of legal loopholes, the Acers are able to avoid persecution. But yes, there have been multiple busts against Acers.
Okay, so I should probably decide not to do that. Alice, knowing his situation, is going to be frustrated and upset. But rather than do anything to the guy, he's just gonna punch one of the walls that are like.
All right, so you kind of punch it.
Yeah, just as like an angry thing, like not like he's like full on like hitting it. He just like turns around, like lights a cigarette, and then like smacks one of the walls. Like kind of, you know when like you're punching, and you just like hit something.
You just the guard just kind of shake his head at you, and he goes, "Cause that's a real." All
right, you know what?
And he just kind of walks away.
So the jacket, so I'm gonna like kind of like drop the jacket down a little bit, and he's gonna see like the top of like his, so Alice has this big tattoo on his back, and it's gonna be like, it's gonna be this, like a symbol of the Acers kind of like behind it, like the emblem, but it's gonna also have this like horned dragon, like over, like old school dragon though, not the robotic ones nowadays.
Do I see this?
Make it per, well, I'm gonna say
make it not perception being secretive check. About it. Yeah.
With disadvantage because you're sitting down and there's a huge crowd.
Oh, true.
Okay. That would be, oh, damn it.
With disadvantage. 4.
It's a 2. So, yeah, 4.
All right. No, you don't see anything.
Okay. And then, like, with that old, it's like an old school dragon, horn dragon. And then, like, it's basically, some people will know about it. I'm not huge, you know, but it's basically known as, like, the Berserker. It's like a hired, like, killer for, oh, shit, whatever. Yeah. Basically, just like a hired killer, almost.
I need you to make an insight check.
What was that?
19.
He looks at you. You see just kind of like for the first time you can finally see behind like kind of like this like tinted visor on his mm-hmm. goggles, just enough to see the whites of his eyes widen a little bit. But the facial expression, what you can see below the eyes, doesn't change. He just kind of goes, continue. Like there's like a brief pause, but then he continues with the shake of his head and just goes, "That's why you don't get what you want." And he just kind of starts walking off. But you notice that he's walking a little more quickly.
Okay.
And he's walking, and it looks like he's pulling out some sort of a comm unit.
I'm going to tell my driver. I'm going to look over to my driver and, like, wave her, like, towards me and say, "It's time to go."
All right. So you give, like, a little whistle and a wave, and you see her kind of just, like, pat the guy on the shoulder and just go, she's kind of talking kind of to herself, where you can't really hear as she's kind of talking to him, but it's very flirtatious. And she just puts out her cigarette and hurries off in the direction of you guys. What are you doing in this time, Clive?
Okay, so did any of that make a scene? Did anybody, like, pay it? Like, was anyone aware of what was going on with him and, like, the altercation with the guard?
Please make a perception check on that.
Unnatural 20.
You saw the guard walking away very quickly, and you just caught the very end of a, we got a problem. We got a problem over. And that's what you hear, and you kind of look over in him just in time to see the very hints of a tattoo being covered up as he waves over the woman.
Oh, man. Hey, this guy looks like trouble, but I don't think I have any other way to get out of here. I just gotta sneak past this Loxodon and decided to sit right in front of... I just need to get out of here. So he's going to try to sneak past... the elephant person.
I don't want to. I need
onto the ship.
So this is happening. Yeah, just as your altercation happening. Yeah. I need you to make a perception check versus your stealth check.
22.
A 14.
14. 22. All right. So how do you sneak past her?
Oh, I don't think you can sneak past the Loxodon because of my ears.
Oh. What does it say? I think you probably just have, like, advantage on yours, listening perceptions. It's not, like, a know-it-all.
Okay.
So.
I'd like to be a know-it-all.
No, that's not how it works, unfortunately. Right. So please, go ahead and tell me how you sneak past her.
Well, I'm gonna go around to, so the ramp's down, right, and she's sitting at the very end.
She's sitting at the very end, but of course there's, like, because the ramp is down, you know, it's not like there's walls. You can get up on the side something like that.
My knowledge as a pilot, would I know if there was any other hatches into this, like maintenance hatches or anything into this kind of ship?
Generally, there are other ways into a ship. Being able to interface with it in a quick fashion is hard, especially because most ships require attunement to them. So in this case, no. You would actually have to get past her.
Okay, so I'm going to sneak around to the side of the ramp that's kind of the most out of view of everybody else. To just kind of do like a, kind of roll up on it and sneak my way into the back of the ship there.
Okay, so as you kind of roll your way up onto it, McKenna, it's almost like you're lost in your own thoughts. Just you see as her elephant's snout, right? Yeah, your elephant snout's kind of
trunk.
There we go. I couldn't remember the word. Elephant trunk is kind of like listening back and forth, very lazily, as if she's just almost like in a trance, but also kind of reminds you of a composer. And then you kind of snap to life, but like 2 or 3 seconds too late, as if like you heard the clatter and then it registered in your brain, and you kind of like your ears twitch and you go, but there's nothing there.
Okay.
You get into the ship and immediately you feel almost at home. You've used smuggler ships before. I need you to go ahead and make a quick investigation check.
I got a nice ship. Okay.
It's a loner.
I know.
I got a one.
All right, one. All right, you kind of walk around kind of like, come. You're not quite sure, but you know that somewhere there should be some false boards or plating that you can potentially hide in if you wanted to. But McKenna, you are sitting there cross-legged. You kind of, as you turn your head back, kind of like, that was odd. You see, as this large man with his pilot walks up towards you.
She's like in the way of my, like,
she's cross-legged.
I am very unintrusive.
Big, right? Like, how is she compared to me? Like, how tall are you?
Oh, I'm huge. I am 7'6", 375 pounds.
Oh my God.
And I stand up casually. Hello. How are you?
Why are you in front of my ship?
Your ship just looks really interesting. I'm intrigued by ships in general, and this ship just looked fascinating. Tell me about it.
Not really up to that right now.
Okay, well then I'm actually curious. Where are you headed?
To work.
Where's work?
Alright, I don't know why you're so picky right now. I want to know everything, but I need to get to my job.
Okay, well, the reason I'm being so picky, if you don't want to be friendly here, is because I would like a way out of this prison. And it seems as though the ship that I was on is 7 hours delayed, and I'm really willing to go anywhere but here.
Is my pilot back yet or not? She's like on her way walking.
No, she's like caught up with you. She's like kind of standing behind you, just kind of waiting and watching this interaction. Did you tell her about your interaction with the guard? Did you let her know what was going on?
With the guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I told her that I showed my mark or whatever.
And she goes, "We kind of need to get out of here. You really wanted to be the record breaker, didn't you? And then you go ahead and, wow. Seventh time.
We're still gonna get out of here.
Okay.
I wonder if you might need a little assistance. And it looks like you forgot to. Never mind. It looks like you might need some assistance.
Assistance with what?
Well, you look like you would need to get out of here quickly, and maybe need a 375-pound elephant.
I don't think
to
you
help.
Can fit on my ship.
Oh, I totally can. I'd like to walk up.
Walk up my ramp.
Yeah, because you said I don't think you can fit in. I'd like to show
Before
you.
Before she
like...
turns around, grab her trunk.
What?
Don't do that.
What's going on? Grabbing... Would I be able to attempt a vehicle handling check while in the ship to see if I can pilot it?
Like, you don't know he's in there.
I don't know he's in there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You could try to interface with it. Depending on what sort of security things are in it, you might not be able to interface with it in a quick enough time. But so yeah, you go to the center console, you stick your hands in, sinking into the kind of jelly flesh, and suddenly you feel the consciousness of the ship, the living entity that are dragons, as it almost reaches out probing to find out who you are. Go ahead and roll an interfacing check.
That's creepy. I have a 6.
Immediately, you are met with the equivalent of like firewalls, and you're like, this is going to take a while.
Oh, well, thought this was going to work, but I don't have time. I just need to find a place to hide.
Okay. As you pull out, there is a... And you hear that coming from in your ship, and that's coming from behind you, McKenna, as you are just, like, standing there, as he kind of reached for your trunk, and, like, just as he did that, right, that sound came in, and both of you kind of froze into the place. As you both look back in the ship.
It looks like you could really use some help now.
I need you to please go ahead and make another, make a investigation roll. Or, yeah.
14.
Very quickly, you look around and you see the false panelings actually up in the front of the ship. As you kind of start to, I'm assuming, slip into it, go ahead and make a stealth roll.
14.
All right. And that's when you kind of like pull it just shook as you hear the Loxodon from out there go, "Looks like you could really use some help." And as you say that, you guys see as one of the security guards is starting to walk from the other side towards you, two like flanked with two other ones, both of them carrying assault weapons. And they're talking into their comm units, walking towards you guys.
All right, so Atlas, hearing the alarm, being annoyed with the guard, having this massive elephant in my way, he's gonna like, there is gonna be a slight, actually, you're gonna see a slight flicker. Well, the elephant will, and the guard maybe. She just will, because I only have lights in the front. You see a slight flicker of like red, and then he's gonna basically just tell, he's gonna like hurry his pilot in the like ship and say, "All right, get to work, you need to get out of here." And then...
So the pilot kind of rushes past you and goes, "Oh, excuse me?" And kind of pushes up past you. And you hear the footsteps of them over the top of you, just like, "God damn thing." She doesn't seem to notice anything amiss. And she goes, "I need to get these damn alarms refixed." And she just hears, she slips her hand into the control interface again.
So might I join you? Was it Atlas?
Have I seen any Loxodons before? Like, have I dealt with them?
Up to you.
Has there been any wars or anything that, like, Loxodons have been a
part of? Like battlefields?
In history, yes. Nothing recently. But as you're kind of thinking this over, the guards are getting closer. Okay. And they're starting to point at you.
All right. I am going to just say, do what you want. I'm going to walk up the ship.
Well, because I'm in front of you, and you can't walk up without me being in your way.
I'm just going to push you.
Oh, I'm going to walk ahead of you and lead you onto your ship and say, come along, come on.
And as you do that, you hear your pilot voice kind of ring out, and we're go. And you hear the ramp starting to close. As you hear the guards starting to, you hear the footsteps kind of running towards you, people getting parted as they're pushing their way through, and you can hear the guards going, we got them running. Halt! And you can hear like the sound of just like a single firing round just kind of being shot as the pilot raises the ship off of the ground and kind of like turns it in the direction of the gates, and you just feel the familiar bolts, both of the two, as the ship shudders and shakes with a as it shoots multiple bolts at the barrier gate, which closes the thing, disabling it. And as the ship starts to accelerate and move out into the expanse of darkness, with all the people down below kind of staring up, pointing at what's going on, having a hard time believing it, smoke filling the bay. And you kind of look back as you click on one of the viewing portals, the Loxodon right next to you, and you can see a lot of the damage that your pilot had caused as you were pulling away. Change the interface, look up ahead, and you can see in the distance the transfer ship ahead. And I think for this time, that is where we're going to call it. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good work, guys.
I hope you guys enjoyed that.
And we're all together.
Yep. So, again, everyone, thank you for joining in for our pilot episode of Starlight, and we can't wait to see you again.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Starlight. If you enjoyed this, please like, share, subscribe. For early releases, exclusive RPG content, and other bonus material, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/starlightadventures. And to reach us for questions to be aired, email us at thestarlightadventures@gmail.com. See you next Tuesday, Spacers.